Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
And again, there's ways to approach people and things like that. And I understand that there are times when I'm talking with some people and I know, you know, I can't treat this person like a brother because they're just going to be offended and walk out and, you know, have an attitude at me and that kind of thing. And so I'm not going to be able to do that with this guy. And I understand all that stuff. But when you got somebody who's tight with you, you need to be able to tell them the truth. And if you're a brother to somebody else, you need to be able to listen to the truth, right? And so if you got somebody who loves you and you know they love you and they need to come up and say, that was dumb, you need to be able to take it. You know, definition of a fool is somebody who cannot take correction in the book of Proverbs. And so, again, we have to watch out for that. And so, again, there's more latitude in the area of correction than there is with an elder. And so when you see Jesus dealing with his disciples, he says some pretty intense things to them. And the disciples are saying intense things to each other. Most times, those intense things aren't that great. But there's a back and forth that goes on there that lets you know that you're close. And so when I look at, like, staff guys, you know, some of the younger guys, I'm treating them like brothers. And I know there's a whole respect thing that goes on. Kyle always comes to mind. Do you guys see that video? How many of you saw the video? Raise your hands. How many of you know nothing about the video? Yeah. We punked Kyle before he left. He came in for an exit interview. And this was Matt and Mike Krantz's idea. Matt Kessie and Mike Krantz's idea. They wanted to put an earbud in my ear so they could tell me what to do, have Kyle come in for an exit interview, and have me do all kinds of off-the-wall stuff to him. And it was just awesome. It was so good. And I could not believe this guy. It started off with, you know, what do you do in counseling and stuff? And he starts telling me all this stuff, you know, all the spiritual stuff. And then I said, no, practically speaking, you have somebody who hasn't taken a shower in a while, they come in for counseling and they stink. What do you do in a situation like that? And then he tries to get spiritual about that too. Well, I would spend some time, maybe talk to him about, maybe you might want to take a shower and stuff. And I go, this is what I do. And they'd given me a couple of air fresheners, car air fresheners. And I had them in my desk. And so I said, this is what I do. I open my desk, I hold up these air fresheners, and I go, I just have these in here, and so I just crack my desk, and so the smell comes up, and I can't smell them anymore. And he goes, really? Really, you do that? And I go, yeah, I've used it on you. You come in after playing basketball. Dude, you smell like a buffalo. And as soon as he went for that, I had him. And so for the whole rest of the thing, I did all kinds of off-the-wall stuff with him. I told him, we anoint people with oil when we pray for them. I said, if I'm out someplace like at a hospital or something, I have oil that I carry with me, and I pull out a can of Pam. And he goes, seriously, you do that? I said, yeah, it's in my computer bag. I don't want my computer bag to get all messed up. So I use a can of Pam, and I go, you just can spray it like this, and you touch him on the forehead. He said, some people come from a Catholic background, and so you spray them with a sign of the cross. And he went for that. The younger men you treat as brothers. We have a lot of fun. Anyway, and then it says the younger women as sisters with all purity. And again, that's served me well over the years. It's like I'm careful in my relationships with younger ladies. And you know, a lot of times guys think that I'm treating some of the younger ladies as daughters. It doesn't say daughters, it says sisters. And that I'm treating the younger guys as sons. It doesn't say sons, it says brothers. And so I treat the younger ladies as sisters. So I consciously think about how I would treat my sister in a situation when I'm talking with my secretaries and some of the younger ladies that are on my staff, and actually any younger lady that comes up and talks with me, how would I treat my sister in this whole thing? And he says, with all purity, and making sure that you're not stepping over lines and treating them in ways that are inappropriate for a young pastor to be treating another woman. And so, again, you have that. Good stuff right there. Then he goes on and he talks about how to treat widows specifically. And this is in the area of benevolence. Benevolence is what we call it when we pass out food and goods and sometimes money for people. And there was a situation in the early church with widows specifically. And it looks like there was a situation in Ephesus, probably other churches too, where there were widows who were enrolled. In fact, some of the Greek in the passage talks about enrolling women in this enrollment. If you look at verse 9, it says, "Do not let a widow under 60 years be taken into the number." And it's the idea of enrollment. And it looks like what was happening was because these older women had no support, that they were working for the church. And so they would come in and they would get food and they would get taken care of and that kind of thing. But there was ministry that they were to be doing, and there was an enrollment that took place with that. And so Paul's going to talk to him about this and the whole issue with, you know, basically charity in the church. He says, again, honor widows who are really widows. That's the idea of somebody who has no one else to care for her. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives." And what Paul is doing is he's trying to keep certain things from taking place in the church where people are abusing the situation where there was a daily role that was, or a daily offering that was passed out to these people to take care of their needs. And so it needs to be somebody, when somebody comes in for help, it needs to be somebody who really needs help. You know how often we get people who are walking in here scamming the church? Like, all the time. So when I don't do this anymore because I'm the senior pastor, and so I give this to the other guys now. I'm messing around. I'm not messing around. I do give it to the other guys. It's one of the worst things ever. And so when I was a young pastor, I was the assistant, and so I got all the benevolence things, situations, and people would come in all the time, and I came from a welfare background. I was a welfare kid. And so I know when people are scamming. And so they come in and talk to me and give me a story and that, you know, this whole thing. And I'd talk to them about work. Why are you not working? Because you were able to walk in here, dude. So why are you not working? What's going on? And I was nice to them. But we'd go through, and I was really careful with the money because it's not my money. It's Jesus's money. This is, you know, the money that comes here, the stuff that you give, and it's offerings that are given to the Lord. We take it seriously. And so we don't just pass things out. And so that's when I first learned that. When I came up here and I was the only guy on staff, people would come in and they would want me to give them money or give them food or buy, you know, get them a place or things like that. And usually, you know, they come in sometime at the beginning of the week or maybe in the middle of the week. And if they came in, then what I would do is put them to work. I go, sure, you know, we can give you something. Can you do some vacuuming? And so I'd have them vacuum the sanctuary, vacuum the Sunday school room, and then I'd watch them and see if they were working hard. And we would have already agreed on a price. I'll take care of this need if you'll do this for me. And we will have already agreed on the price. And if I saw them working their tail off, then I'd give them more, do something else for them, and that kind of thing. And so it was always like that. Well, what ended up happening was people got the, you know, the memo on that, and so they wouldn't come in on a Monday or on a Wednesday. They come in on Friday, right before it was time to go home, and they would tell me that their electricity is about to be turned off, and it's going to be turned off tomorrow, and they need it, and they'll come back, and they'll take care of it. And again, I came from a welfare background, and so I know when people are scamming me. And so the answer to that was, well, you need to come back on Monday, and then we'll talk about it. Well, my electricity is going to get turned off. Well, you know, it's like, you should come, at, you know, this last Monday. And you're so mean. You're not a Christian. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's going to make me give you money on Monday, isn't it? You know, so what are you doing? You know, and so we talk about that. People are scamming all the time. I had one guy come in at one point, and he came in and he said, hey, can you get me a room? And I go, well, yeah, well, what's wrong? What's going on? He goes, well, me and my wife, you know, it's our anniversary, and, you know, I'd like you to get us a room at a motel. And I was like, get out of here. In Jesus' name. No. It was a longer conversation, but that's how it ended. And so, you know, people are just brash about coming in and thinking that the money that you give to Jesus is something that should go to them because they're lazy. And that doesn't get to happen. And that's part of what he's talking about in this situation, making sure that they are really people who have a need. He talks about the fact that these people are supposed to be supported by their family. He says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, verse 4, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. I just went through the book of Isaiah in my quiet times, and one of my favorite passages in Isaiah is in Isaiah chapter 58. It's all about the Jews wanting God to answer their prayers. And they say that we've made offerings and we've fasted and we've sought you daily, but you're not hearing us. And God comes back at them with, the reason that I'm not hearing you is because you're finding pleasure in the day of your fast. You're doing this for religious purposes. You feel good about yourself when you're doing these things, basically. And he goes, and at the same time, you're still oppressing your workers, and you're still stealing from people, and you still have these bad attitudes. And God says, that's not the fast that I have chosen. And then he says this, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. That part of the verse right there has been haunting me since 1979. Because I knew there was going to come a time when I would have to do something with family, and all I wanted to do was hide myself from my own flesh. In NLT it says this, no, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned, lighten the burden of those who work for you, let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. And this is all about, don't hide from relatives that need your help. It's not the church's job to take care of your parents. It's not the church's job to take care of you. It's not the church's job to take care of your kids. It's not the church's job. It's not my job to take care of your parents. It's not my job to take care of you. It's not my job to take care of your kids. It's your job. It's not the government's job to take care of your parents. It's not the government's job to take care of your kids. It's not the government's job to take care of you. That's your job. All of that is your job. And that's what the Bible teaches about this. And it's when people start getting tweaked on that whole thing, that family and culture and society starts going under. You know, one of the first ministries that I was ever involved in was at old folks' homes. I would go to rest homes down in Southern California when I was a kid, and I would take my guitar and I would sing worship songs for them, and we would do a Bible study for them, and I would sit and talk to old people about Jesus. And there were a number of them, because old people back then, most of them knew Jesus. There were a number of them who knew the Lord. And there was one lady in particular who couldn't read anymore. And she just loved Jesus, but you know, she couldn't read, and her family never showed up. And the whole time that I was ministering to her while she was still alive, it was about 6 months, the whole time that I was going down there, never heard about a family member showing up. And so I would just come in once a week, and I would grab her Bible for her. She wanted me to read out of her Bible. So I'd grab her Bible for her, and I'd just go through and read and go, where do we want to read today? And I just go through and read to her for, until she told me to get out. She would always do it nicely and kindly, but, she would tell me when she was done, and then I would pray for her, and then I'd go. I understand the culture that we live in. I understand, we have this whole thing where we have retirement, we have 401ks, and we have Social Security and that kind of stuff, as if you're going to get your Social Security. We have Social Security and all that kind of stuff, and we expect to take care of ourselves when we get older, and that's understandable, and I think that's a responsible thing to do, but that wasn't the case in these times. The ones who took care of you when you got older were your children. And so when you're reading through the Old Testament, you see this whole thing with having boys. It's because they lived in a farming society. You had boys, you could work the fields. And when you got older, you didn't have to be working the fields yourself. Your boys would be sitting there, and you could sit on your front porch, rocking in your rocking chair, pointing. Go over and do that, sonny. Go do that. Go do that. That's what you're supposed to do when you get older, right? And that's how retirement went. And so the point that Paul is making here is that that's the requirement of children towards their parents. And you know what? I don't care what the culture says. That's still the requirement of children towards their parents. You have to take care of your mom and dad. And you need to watch out for them. And I understand, there are situations that come up where somebody is medically unable to stay in your home. I understand that stuff. My mom just died of cancer. And so she had stage 4 cancer for about a year before she died. And the last five months she spent in my home. And so I understand that. I understand the fact that sometimes you just can't do the care. It didn't happen to be that way in my situation. If it had become that way, I would have done what was right by my mom. In the sense of, I don't make it a pride thing. What I'm doing is I'm watching out for my family. And so if I can take care of my mom, that's my job. And if Steve taking care of mom is going to be bad for mom, then I need to do something else. Because what I need to do is be taking care of my mom. But I don't want to pass her off. And that kind of thing. And you know what? The time that I had with her, it was about 5 months. And the time that I had with her was really hard, but it was really good too. And my mom had gotten herself into a position with the rest of the family where they didn't want her. And I always knew that was most likely how it was going to go because of the way that she lived her life. And what was really cool about it was that last 5 months I got to minister to her, and a lot of things turned around. Things turned around in my family because of that last 5 months also. And so, lots of people have reason to walk away from these kinds of commands. And I'm not saying that I don't sympathize with your reasons, because I came from messed up family too. But this is what God says. And so you need to start praying about it. I was praying about my mom for 10 years before I had to go through it. Just praying about it. Just going, God, you need to set this up. God, you need to do something, because I know where this is going. I can tell where things are going. And I knew what was going to happen in this situation too. And actually, when it came down to it, my wife was really the one who did most of the work, because it was my mom. And there were things that it would be inappropriate for me to be doing with my mom. And so my wife is awesome. Is awesome. It's like, what a blessing. And again, what ended up happening with that, it was some really good things. I had some good talks with my mom and actually had some good talks with my sisters, and there was some healing in some different areas. But that's what's supposed to be happening. And so again, if it came to a point where I thought that it would be better for her if I put her into a medical facility, then that's exactly what I would have done if it would have been better for her. But it wasn't anything that we couldn't handle, and I know how I would like to go. I don't want to be in a hospital, you know, in some rest home someplace. I'd rather be in my son's house or my daughter's house and have them wiping my rear end. Oh, that's what I tell my boy. Paying for his college education, I keep telling him, you're my retirement, Bucky. You need to get a good job because you're going to be taking care of Dad. And he comes back with, you need to move off your place. That's too big for you. There's too much for you to, you know, to work on there and that kind of thing. And I don't know if he cares about me or if he cares about coming over and mowing the lawn. Because when I get too old, I'm going to call him up. I'm going to say, you need to come over and mow my lawn, Nate. Get over here. Dad, I'm in Seattle. I don't care. Anyway, you take care of your family. Children, he says, are to repay their parents. And Jesus talked about this. You know what? When you talk about honoring your father and mother, that's one of those passages, again, that I had real struggles with because my family was so out to lunch, so off in left field, like really messed up. And how do I honor them? And so one of the ways that I did it was I chose to look for things that were good about what my mom was doing. And it was usually with my mom. I'm looking for things that I can compliment her on. And I had to look and try and not to just get into a big confrontation every time we had a talk. And she did some of the same because she knew that if she said something weird to me, I was going to be nice to her, but I was going to tell her what the Bible said because she always claimed to be a Christian. And so I was just going to tell her what the Bible said. And so, you know, consequently, over time, she started telling all the weird stuff to my wife. I'd find out about it after I got off the phone. And our conversation was really good and civil. And so that was a real hard thing. Here's one of the things that I found when I started studying what it meant to honor your father and mother. It's something that Jesus said. This is in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. And he's talking about a custom that the Pharisees had at the time. And he said this: you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God: honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And what that's talking about is a situation where they would, at the time, they would give a gift to the temple. So for example, let's just use me. When I moved up here, I bought 4 acres and a house on it and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I decide that I'm going to I decide that I want to keep that basically, and I don't want to have to help my parents when they get older. I can give that over as a gift to the temple. It becomes the temple's property, but I still get to use it till I die, and nobody else gets to use it. And so when my parents come to me and say, can you help me out? I go, oh, I really would, but I've made this korban, is what they called it. That was the name of it. I've made this dedicated to God, and so I can't give it to you because it's no longer mine. And what Jesus said about that was that they were using really spiritual things to disobey what God flatly said, which was honor your parents.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.